Hello and welcome to episode 258 of the Other Untethered podcast. It's your host, Hallie Balkin, and we're going to talk about another maybe unpopular opinion today. Mayo is not the wild, wild west. Let's dive in. Quick disclaimer, all information, content, and material of this podcast are the opinions of the speakers and is for the informational purpose only and not intended to serve as a substitute for the consultation, diagnosis, and/or medical treatment of a qualified healthcare provider. Welcome to the Untethered Podcast. I am your host, Hallie Balkin. I'm a certified myofunctional therapist, feeding specialist, podcaster, business owner, and mentor. This podcast is all about getting your questions answered and collaborating with colleagues to bring you the most up-to-date information in the orofacial myofunctional therapy, airway, tethered oral tissue, and pediatric feeding therapy space. If you're new here, I challenge you to keep an open mind and join my mission to spread this message far and wide. If you've been around since June 2019, thanks for being a loyal listener. As we jump into today's episode, remember to listen with correct oral rest posture. Tongue up, lips closed, teeth apart, breathe through your nose. Let's get started. Okay, so I just dropped this whole, you know, topic on you here. Mayo is not the wild, wild west. What do I mean by that? Well, when you go online, you will often see people make comments like, oh, you know, myofunctional therapy, like it's just the wild, wild west. Anything goes, anybody can treat it. It's no. Like, how did we get here? I don't understand, like, who marketed this so incorrectly over time that it all of a sudden became, even like speech pathologists are saying it, but it became like, oh, well, Mayo's the wild, wild west. Everybody's doing it. And just because that's become the truth does not make it legal or okay. Okay. It's not ethical. It's not legal. And we need to have a discussion about this. So let's dive in. What I want to start with saying is, as I said already, it's not the wild, wild west. What do I mean by that? When I say like Mayo is regulated, orofacial myofunctional therapy is, and we're going to talk about like the whole like term and also OMT and certifications and stuff briefly. This shouldn't be too long. But Mayo is a modality. It's an area that we assess and treat. For example, as a speech language pathologist, I have a license that allows me to do Mayo. Okay. Mayo requires a license. Not anybody can do Mayo. So there's organizations out there. I caution you all because there's organizations who will teach anybody, like a music therapist or a massage therapist or, right? And look, I'm not downplaying anybody's ability to do something, but just because you're able or because you've taken a course, it does not qualify you to assess and treat without a license. Like, I can go take all the courses in the world. If I don't go to dental school, I can't do what dentists do with patients, right? It's the same thing when it comes to Mayo, but for some reason in the online space, people have marketed hard enough that we seem to turn a blind eye to this. And at the end of the day, this is happening at the expense of patients. So my sole purpose here and goal in having this conversation, because I know a lot of patients listen to this, is to educate patients in knowing who to seek out for the best medical care, okay? My license as a speech language pathologist in the state of Maryland, in the state of Florida, I've given up the other states. I only am licensed in those two states right now. Those licenses, I'm licensed as a speech language pathologist. That allows me to assess, diagnose, treat, right? Certain things that other people can't do without a license as a speech language pathologist. Like, are we letting this sink in? Let's let that sink in for a second. Okay. So now that we all understand that, who can do myotherapy? Well, currently, speech pathologists, well, according to the International Association of Orofacial Myology, which I no longer belong to, they've always said that SLPs, registered dental hygienists, and dentists can basically do Mayo. They've allowed, I believe, one physical therapist in to do myo, who's like super highly specialized. And I kind of always looked at this and wondered, like, what am I missing here? Like, if somebody can do feeding therapy, why can't they do myo? There's such an overlap, right? And technically, when you're working with kids who are under the age of 4 cognitively, that's exactly what you're doing. You're doing feeding therapy. So only professionals who are licensed to do feeding therapy can work with a myo, quote unquote, myo patient under the age of 4, cognitive 4. Okay. When I say cognitive, for those who may not be familiar, I mean the way in which our brain is functioning, right? So not chronological, not like, oh, I had my 4th birthday. That child that you may be working with, or an adult who may have, you know, delay, disorder, disability, whatever may be going on, if they are not functioning at or above the level of a 4-year-old cognitively, their ability to understand and then do, right, to process, to take in information and volitionally perform whatever we're asking them to in the therapy, if they cannot do that, right, if they're not functioning at least at the level of a 4-year-old cognitively, they cannot appropriately engage in myofunctional therapy based on what a true myo program looks like and what we're asking them to do. Okay. So there's that. Under the age of 4, what we're asking them to do, since it's not really yet cognitively appropriate, we have to modify. And those modifications actually make what we do in myo overlap greatly with pediatric feeding assessment and intervention. And that's actually what I teach in my Feed the Peds course. So I'm not going to keep belaboring that. I know I've talked about that on the podcast in the past. The whole point of this was to talk about how myo is regulated. It does require a license. Just because somebody's teaching other people who are not licensed to do it does not mean it's not regulated. And that's actually illegal. That's illegal, point blank. We are people who are working out of scope and knowingly doing so, open themselves up to losing a license that they have in another area, opens them up to litigation, opens themselves up to really, like, all it takes is a patient like bringing a malpractice case against you as a person, or basically suing you for not doing therapy correctly or whatever, right? Because you're practicing without a license. That's a thing. Like, people should look into that. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't understand why we've gotten to a point where, and this is not just in this field, but we've gotten to a point where people feel like, oh, I've did this training, I can go out and do this therapy now. No. I can't be a physical therapist. I can't be a registered dental hygienist. I may have an advanced degree, but it's not in dental hygiene. I would need to go back to school for that, right? So if somebody wants to do myo and they want to work with kids birth to 4, you need to go back to school and you need to become either an SLP or an OT or maybe even a PT, right? Or a dentist to technically do that work. I will argue dentists actually probably don't fall into that. So I'm going to retract that comment. Really, it's SLP, OT, and PT, because for the under 4 group, right, we're talking pediatric feeding therapy. And then I always kind of scratched my head and wondered why, like, the IOM would not allow OTs and PTs to take courses and get the certification. Because, hi, again, if you can do pediatric feeding therapy, and arguably feeding is within your scope and working on the orofacial complex is within your scope and you're doing those kinds of modalities, well, why can't you take a myo course? Like, why can't? So this whole exclusionary process of keeping certain professionals out who are licensed to do this work and then allowing others in who are, you know, not, that's a problem. That's kind of scary, right? I don't want to go to a doctor who took a course and is now like, oh yeah, I specialize in this. And then they're hanging their hat on the wall and basically saying, like, this is my specialty. I know we all got to start somewhere, but that's very different than actually having the license and working within scope while you hone a skill set than basically jumping into something that you are technically not licensed to do. Like, we're talking about legalities here. I don't understand what's happening in the world. So for anybody who is super confused, and while our state license trumps ASHA, you can go to ASHA.org And there is a practice portal, and you can look up orofacial myofunction disorders, and it has an overview. It talks about incidence and prevalence, signs and symptoms, causes, roles and responsibilities, assessment, treatment, resources, references, etc. on the ASHA.org website, the American Speech Language Hearing Association's website. And it talks about like what SLPs, for example, can do. And there's even like an orofacial myofunctional disorders evidence map with summaries related to research and like, you know, all this fun stuff, okay? But please know who you're working with. Please know myo is regulated. Please know myo is not its own profession. Now, as a business owner putting my business hat on, because of all the marketing and because of all the noise and because of a lot of people working at a scope, we get a lot of phone calls in my private practice. I get a lot of DMs on social media that basically say, we need myo for my 1 month old. What? Your 1 month old needs myo? What's going on, right? It's not that they need myo per se. It's that they need to work with somebody who is trained in pediatric feeding and myo and airway, who maybe has also training in tethered oral tissues, to do a comprehensive assessment and understand what's going on and how we get your child on track, right? Because that's very different than a myo assessment. And I'm not downplaying myo. But for a 1 month old, a 3 year old, a 3.5 year old, and even arguably some 4 year olds, they are not going to receive what is traditionally taught in a myo course, right? Myo assessment, myo treatment, all the things. Very, very different. Very, very different. And after trying to educate and educate and educate and educate, I finally was like, you know what? It's now an accepted term. Right? Myotherapist, myotherapy. This is now an accepted term, a very widely used term. So instead of trying to change that, I'm going to join the conversation and I'm going to change what it means. And so I know that there are some people who feel like a myofunctional therapist is not a standalone profession. It's not. 100% agree with that. But we do have certifications, right? Like certified orofacial myologist, the COM with the IOM. I've created the certified myofunctional therapist, the CMT, through my business. I decided that if I can't beat them, let's join them and let's start to control the quality of the therapists and the scope of making sure people are doing what they're actually licensed to do. So I can do that through my own certification, right? In certifying people who can do myo, and not allowing those who can't do myo, like I don't allow them into my course. I don't allow them into my membership. I will not certify them if you don't have the proper license, right? SLPs, OTs, PTs, RDHs, and dentists can go through my myo course, my myo membership, my myo certification. When it comes to pediatric feeding, my pediatric feeding course and our future certification, which does go through like how do you adapt like these concepts of myo, like how does it fall into pediatric feeding and tethered oral tissues and all that fun stuff, for that birth to four crowd, right? It's currently a course for SLPs and OTs, and it's currently going to be a certification for SLPs and OTs as well. Okay, so we can start to control the narrative by only allowing what's right, what's licensed, what's, you know, legal through our own daily activities, our daily actions, and our daily education for patients ultimately, and even colleagues. So I'm going to wrap this up here, but I really wanted to kind of hone in on the fact that myo is not the wild, wild west. It is regulated. It requires licensure. And just please know who you are working with. Okay. I do have two directories. One is pediatricfeedingtherapist.com for kids who may need help with this stuff under the age of 4. And then we are working on the myo directory as well, which will be linked to the untetheredpodcast.com website soon. We're just working through a few last kinks, and then we will have individuals who've taken the course and those who are certified through my program. Their names will be on that website as well. But for now, let's just remember it is not the wild, wild west. It is highly regulated. And that's that. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you found value in this episode and want to hear more of these MyoTOTS airway and feeding related episodes, be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and share this episode on your social media platforms. You can access free resources and all I offer at hollybalkin.com or pop over to @hollybalkin on Instagram to get all the latest updates.